Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. You might notice here that Heather is not here with me today, and instead I have my lovely wife, Jennifer.
Hello.
Heather isn't feeling well, and you know, I always appreciate these times when Jen can join me on these podcasts. So once again, thank you all for being here at the Thriving Marriage Podcast, the top podcast about marriage, I would say, in the world. I think we're doing pretty good. Like I said, I want to express my appreciation as we try to help thousands of couples create thriving marriages. Today, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be getting into a good understanding of the perfect things to say to get your partner's attention and make them get all those warm, fuzzy feelings towards you. And I want you to watch until the end, because you don't really want to miss any of these suggestions. These are the kind of things that I go in depth into when I work directly with my clients. We want to give some explanation as to why these things are effective and give you some examples as to what you can actually specifically say. But before we get to that, we did post a question in the group the other week. The question was, what one thing do you want to see absolutely happen in your marriage this year? And I want to connect it to the topic today. As I was going through the responses, I was seeing a lot of similar things. You know, it might have been things like going on more dates or more connection, but a lot of them were to be together. Not to be separated, to have reconciliation, to work on things. A big theme of communication. But we saw a lot of those themes. And I will say that for a lot of those, whether it's connection or reconciliation or, you know, being together again, it does start off with some, you know, getting those warm, fuzzy feelings again. And you need a path to there. That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
What we're trying to get to today is giving you a path to get you those goals that you're looking for. So before we get into all that, I know I just said before we get into this, we're going to have the question, but even before we get into the main stuff, I want to go over our client win of the week. This one I was actually posted not long ago, but it was actually from someone interesting. This is from, with permission from her, Roberta Choate. And if you make the connection there, yes, there is a connection. Heather Choate, my business partner. This is a family member. So I'm going to give a slight background. This is like many years ago when Heather and I were trying to just get things going. You can remember that.
It was 6 years ago. So it's been some time.
It's been some time, and we were just trying to help out anyone that wanted some support. And Roberta came to us and was looking for some advice. Anyway, she shared, you know, recently, she says, "Heather Choate, you're so beautiful and I love you dearly. I rarely join, but I wanted to let others know that your program works. Today, Adam Choate and I are celebrating our 27th anniversary. As you know, a couple years ago, we were in the process of divorce. And that's such a horrible and lonely place to be. Adam and I learned to work out our differences. We learned to forgive, to really forgive. Every day's work, every day is wonderful. She says, I know I'm family and that makes differences, but everyone out there, Heather is amazing. She'll help you. I'm grateful for everything you do. Saving families is the best work there is."
It really is. I feel like that's why it's so meaningful, is it's such a strong thing for you and Heather. Family is everything to us, so we would love everyone else to experience a really loving environment as well. So I love the work that's being done.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this, yeah. And I know for Me myself, I didn't ever really want to be in a line of work that was somewhat meaningless. And so there, like for Heather and I, just, for what it's worth, we really like being here with the thriving marriage community, with the High Thrive coaching business, because it's really meaningful to kind of see these differences that do happen to actually. I know for Jen and I, our marriage is very important to us, and just to have that connection to help other people have some great relationships, it just feels really nice.
And sometimes it does take time. Like I like this win because it's over many years and not just immediate. Like sometimes the things that matter to us are going to be slow habits that we start today.
Absolutely. All right, so those phrases that can really make your partner fall for you, make them melt. When Jen and I were discussing this, we were like, okay, well, you could Google some phrases to say to your partner, and I'm sure there's any number of sites out there that will say, well, say these words and your partner will absolutely fall for you. And I don't know. We had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, not all of them were universal, it appeared. Just for fun, we looked at a bunch and we were like, what sticks? What feels like it could be a truth that could be shared with everybody? And it comes back to just this formula of how to create it more so than exact words to say.
Yeah, that's the conclusion we came to exactly, in that we could feed you some words. And I think it would probably work for maybe like the words that we've had you would work for us. And I think that's kind of the thing with a lot of relationships is that it's very subjective and it's very personal. And so I thought it was much better to talk to you about like some of the principles that really make up these phrases that will make your partner melt rather than like give you specific words. Now we do want to give some examples, certainly. But like one of the main principles that we first wanted to connect this to, and if you've been listening to us for a while, you've probably heard some of this. It's connecting it to some basic emotional needs. And we stumbled on this kind of idea quite some time ago. You know what we're talking about here, right, Jen?
Right. So what basic needs are universal, and some of them may be more significant to you than other ones. So as you hear this list, maybe something will like really click with you. So they would be connection, uncertainty, and being uncertainty meaning like fun variety, like something too exciting to look forward to. Certainty, which means comfort, support, and trust. And significance, which means I feel respected. I feel like I make a difference here and it's seen. And then growth and connection. So,
Oh, not connection. I'm sorry.
oh,
Contribution.
contribution.
I wrote.
Sorry, we're reading this list that we
Where
wrote.
we always create notes off
But
that,
double connection. Connection's always
and
good. So we'll just mention that that was probably on purpose because connection is so important.
But here's the thing. Like, why we're bringing this up is if you're going to have things said that are really going to connect you to your partner, that are going to really draw them into you. You need to be fulfilling some of these basic emotional needs. And if you really think about it, a lot of the function of a relationship tends to boost up some of these needs. Whether I am spending time snuggling with Jen, and building up some connection with her, or I'm carving out the time, we're carving out time to spend together, and we are really reinforcing this idea that we matter to each other. A lot of the, what we are doing that builds the relationship up, a lot of the things that we say that build the relationship up are supporting one of these needs. The idea here is that the words that you can say have an ability to support fulfilling these needs as well.
So if we go back to the title, the melting phrases are supporting these fulfilling needs. So it's drawing back, it's connecting back to one of these things that was mentioned before. So how would you go about deciding what these needs should be that are fo what you should focus on? What would you say?
It's a good question. So I do think that, And I hear from a lot of people like, I don't know what my partner needs sometimes, or it's so confusing, or they have these complaints out there and they're not sure what to do about it. I think you can gain a lot of insight into what your partner needs through these complaints, through their compliments even, and the things that they're pursuing.
Yeah, so we're just taking this all in as neutral information. You know, it's the good and the bad, it's just information. So, are they saying perhaps that they need more space? And what need would you say would go back to that? Would that be like maybe they need their time to grow and find themselves on their own, or maybe they're needing support with that, or maybe they're needing.
I think, a lot of times, and this is not universal, but a lot of times if they are saying that they need space, they're just looking to like get away from some of the tension or chaos. Sometimes they, like you said, they may need some space to be themselves or to grow.
Yeah.
But like, you're going to find some themes in a lot of the things that they say. Other examples, do they complain that you never listen? We might have a need for feeling respected or feeling like they
Right.
matter to you.
Yeah.
You might might hear even some positive things. I know a lot of couples that are struggling, there's still positive expressions that come out. Maybe your partner is expressing appreciation that you have supported them in some way. And you really want to pay attention to those three things, the compliments, the complaints, and the things that they are pursuing.
Right. And there's probably, if you look at many examples, something will shine through that's the same all the time, that keeps being said to you over and over again in some form or fashion.
So one of these phrases that you can actually build up here, you can make a direct connection to your desire to meet emotional needs and how you intend to do so. Whether this is direct connections to like healing actions, such as like if Jen and I were having a fight, an argument, and she wasn't feeling heard, if I was to go to her and say, "Hey, look, I really want to make sure that you feel heard in these conversations. It's really important to me." This is like a really, I'm gonna speak for Jeff. This is a really healing sort of phrase.
Right. I'm saying like you can't but agree with that. You're like, yeah, I do want to be heard. Who doesn't? So it's a winning statement.
Or
Yeah.
you might have a direct connection to building up actions. If you are seeing that your partner is really pushing for their career and they want to grow and they want to feel important, and you are expressing like, "Jen, I'm really excited about like some of the pursuits that you're having." Jen, by the way, is starting up some classes that she's teaching on, self-improvement and connecting with the community, getting some real traction. And
It's been nice, and it's been nice to feel supported by my spouse in that, because it matters to me. So saying that it matters to you also is very like melting and warm. So yeah, pay attention to what they love doing and support them in that.
exactly. So yeah, how you connect this specifically, creating direct connection to some healing actions, some things that you're seeing that are missing, or to some actions, to some phrases that are building up the things that they want to build up as well, are very specific key things that you can express. Now, beyond that, another building block to connecting phrases is to be very specific rather than general.
I feel like this one is especially important because you could come off as trite. It could backfire on you if you're too general. You're like, well, do they really mean it? But when you are able to provide a real example of how you mean it, it just like hits home so much more.
Just general statements expressing appreciation or love are just very, very bland and blah, and it gets lost
Yeah.
Quite frequently. Like if Jen and I will express love, we'll say, "Hey, I love you,"
And
and nothing.
that's nice to hear.
It's nice to hear, but
Nice to hear.
nothing against you. It doesn't have a whole lot of weight if you keep hearing the same phrase. So saying "I love you" or "Hey, I appreciate you" versus "I love the way that you enter a room with enthusiasm and your energy really draws people in." is a lot better. I hope you guys can hear the specificity. And I wrote that in the notes, but it's something that I actually do appreciate about Jen. She comes into the room and really draws people in, and it's nice to see.
The reason it holds so much weight is it's not just I love you, it's like I love the way that you are, is how it comes across. And that means a lot. That means like you feel seen, you know, and you want to feel seen in that love.
Absolutely. What other things that we can add to statements like this is the significance that your partner adds to either yourself or to other people. It's very different saying, hey, thanks for doing the dishes, which I think actually the other day I might have said very similar words. I might have said, yeah, you took care of the dishes the other day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I do the dishes every day. So, yeah. But when you're like, thank you for doing the dishes because it means a lot to me that I was able to sit with our children to connect with them, and you're very supportive in your role, and I appreciate you giving me that time for that. It means a lot. It's so much deeper and holds the, like, that's how you're really feeling inside. Whereas thank you for the dishes, it just kind of rolls off the tongue and is forgotten, whereas that moment is remembered.
I think, even the other day, it was a couple of days ago, I wanted to connect with our son. There was a new Star Wars show, the Boba Fett thing, and that's something that my son really likes to watch, is those Star Wars shows, and I wanted to sit down and watch that with him and talk about it with him. And Jen was like, I'll take care of the dishes. Why don't you go watch that show with
right.
his name's Oliver before it's bedtime. And,
it represents more than the dishes in that case.
Exactly. That's the point here, is it's very easy to be like, hey, thanks for doing the taking care of the dishes.
Thanks for dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. if you don't add that significance in there, it becomes very trite, like we're saying with general statements.
What do you actually appreciate what they're doing for you? What do you like if they make you dinner? Like you could be like, wow, like you made my favorite food. This means a lot to me. I had a difficult day and I feel so supported when I come home to you.
Yeah.
So much better than thank you for dinner.
Other things that you can put into this, being more specific, is hidden traits, as in what traits are behind the actions that you are noticing. If I'm just like, you cook good, Jen. I mean, you can even hear. I'm over exaggerating a
right,
bit.
Right. But like, the traits behind the actions are, this is a quality about you I admire. So if you cook good, might be, you are a wonderful cook. You like know how to put a dish together. Like, this is a part of who you are, and I see that. I see you.
It might have taken a lot of determination or a lot of work to get to that point. It could have, just be that there's a lot of care in those sort of actions. And you want to notice those hidden traits that are contributing to this. If you do this, and it becomes a lot better than, hey, thanks for dinner. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, I can see that this was like hard for you to take this time, and I can see how much you care.
Right. And if we're going
Here's
back to the basic need, is that what the list was called? The basic needs?
Basic emotional needs.
Basic
yes.
emotional needs. It comes back to that connection that we put twice on the list because it was meant to be. And contribution there, like you can hit multiple needs more than like if you can focus on multiple needs of theirs when you actually take the time to consider something deeper behind what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And even if you are not, if your marriage is not doing well right now, I think that there's a lot of room to take notice of those positive traits.
Yeah.
Even as your partner might be pulling away, you can take notice of the positive things that they're doing while they're pulling away. As an example, it might be hard to compliment someone calling for separation, but you can say, I can see that you are really needing, like, I can appreciate that you are taking the effort to have some respect for yourself. I can see that you really need to focus on yourself for a bit, and I can admire that you're taking the initiative on that.
Or if you go back to hidden traits, I mean, just because they're having a difficult time with you, it doesn't mean those traits go away. I mean, they're still there. The person that you care about is still there. And you can mention those traits that exist no matter what their actions are. You can find
Absolutely.
ways to take notice of that and mention it.
The point here is, even in difficult arguments and whatnot, if you can find the positive piece, the hidden underneath the surface piece to notice, it can really turn around the mood in the atmosphere there. Other things to be specific about is their choices rather than the traits that they did not choose. And I hope this isn't a huge surprise, but like if you're having a fight and you say how sexy their hair is right now, or they got a rocking behind there, I mean, there's a time and a place for that. But it's not going to be as effective. It's not going to mean as much as their, say, choice in style, their excellent judgment, or their push for self-respect.
Right. And you read the situation,
Sure.
obviously. And that's one of the ways to like create a melting space, like phrase is like, in this moment, how will they perceive this?
Sure. Sure. In the right context, commenting on, their physical traits might be appropriate. Like, I'm not going to say that I dislike compliments of, my appearance, my how attractive I am. I'm not going to dislike that, but it usually means something more. And that's why, like, we go back into the issue of significance and whatnot. But you're going to get a lot further if you compliment or notice traits that they chose rather than the ones that they didn't. You might go into some of their choice of actions. What about their choices deserves appreciation? Even as they pull away, are there positive qualities to appreciate and support? You can say, I really can see that you're trying to have some respect for yourself, and I wanted to support that. That's going to be a, even as they're pulling away, how do you fight against that? You really can't. Are they going to argue with you and say, no, I don't need to support my desires for self-respect? They're not. Lastly, if you're going to have some melting phrases here, make sure it's within context, just like we were talking about a moment
And I
ago.
think everyone here knows, when you're in context and when you're not. When it's appropriate to say certain things, and other times it's appropriate to like be a little more deeper and listen. Or sometimes it's more appropriate to be cheeky and light.
But the thing is, out of context, it feels less believable, or as though there's an agenda. If there's a lot of tension between the two of you, as an example, and you say, I really love you, I really appreciate you.
It could feel like you don't. Actually, it can come off as the opposite. You're like,
Might.
we have problems where I'm upset and you are dismissing me. Like so that's why that's so important.
I
And
often.
it's totally, oh,
No,
sorry,
no.
spoke over you. And it's so true. Like you do love them, but throw them in the other ways. There's so many ways to show them.
In the wrong context, these sort of things, it can be perceived that you might have an agenda, that you're trying to do something. And I hear that a lot from partners who are pulling away. They're saying, okay, you're only making these changes. You're only being nice. You're only respecting what I have to say. You're only listening to me because you need me back for your own reasons. You can't be without me. You're not paying attention to what I need. And we hear that a lot. I would say that this is one of the most common complaints as people are trying to patch their relationship back together is, I don't trust that these changes are real. And part of that, just a small piece of that, is the context of some of these conversations. So it really does depend on the current mood. And the current mood does tend to have an impact on the interpretation of positive interactions.
Right. And you can always tell the truth about how you're feeling, and that's also very like valid and within context, especially when you're careful about it. So you can create context even if you feel like, well, how do I start saying these, like the things that I would like to share, how would this work? Mm-hmm. So create your own context, see some, observe your partner, call attention to the specific actions they're doing currently. Call out to the future or the past when it's relevant. Like if something reminds you of something and it holds weight for both of you, go ahead and mention that, you know, it won't feel out of the blue. So, yeah.
I do think that, you know, some of the things that you can do to create context, well, actually, I think there's a lot that you can do. You know, one of the things that you can do is making observations. It creates context around the comment, as in, hey, I'm noticing that you've been spending a lot of time with the kids, and I wanted to take this opportunity to like to appreciate like all the effort that you've been putting in there. Mm-hmm. If you can anchor it with like something real, you're going to create a lot more context. If you are calling attention to specific actions, hey, I've noticed that, you know, once again, the example of, I've noticed that you've been spending a lot more time with the kids. I'm noticing that you're speaking up more in our conversations, that you're giving me a lot more feedback. And, you know, I just wanted to say, I really appreciate all this, you know, effort that you've been having to speak up and be respectful towards yourself.
Or one that I really liked when we were going through examples is, I trust your judgment. Like when you're making a decision and you decide on something, you know, together, maybe it's about your children or something, and you're like, I trust your judgment. That says a lot about the character mm-hmm. of the other person, and that's really meaningful. Or what were some of the other examples we felt were? I'm on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this might be hard for me. I might be upset. But I'm on your side. I care so much for your happiness. I'm on your side.
Yeah. You can also create some context by calling attention to some future or past events as it relates to what's going on right now. You say, hey, I am really looking forward to our holiday times together. I can remember all the holidays that we had and how much effort that you put into making these things special. I really appreciate you being there for the kids as father or mother. You have now created context to have these melting phrases here. But essentially what I'm getting at is you can prime the mood, you can prime the situation to be able to have your partner be more receptive to some really nice things to say.
Right.
So just to recap, what we have here is, you know, make sure that you are connecting this to some basic emotional needs. If you're really clueless on what to say, make sure that you are building up or healing some needs for connection or respect or some security and trust. These things are going to be a lot more impactful, generally. Further, be much more specific rather than general. Call attention to specific actions. Be specific in what you are appreciating. Be specific in those hidden traits or their choices that they are making. It gives a lot more impact. It's a lot more significant. Jen gave a very great example of the statement, I trust your judgment. Very brief, but it is more specific. It is communicating some respect or consideration for their choices. And, you know, if given in the right context, can be a really significant sort of statement. Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want people to say, you're a trustworthy person
mm-hmm.
and your opinion matters?
So
it's such a winning phrase.
as we stated at the beginning, it's hard to give you very specific words to use for your partner because every relationship is going to be different. But if you keep some of these principles in mind, as you are looking for things to build up your relationship, you're going to have a lot more success rather than, you know, if you just go in blindly with statements of, I love you, I care about you, please stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, if you'd like to comment on that, if you would like, I would love to hear some comments on some of those melting phrases that you've heard from your own partner. I'd like to hear from you, like point out how, why these things were significant, why these things meant so much to you, why they were melting. And I want to see if like some of the principles that we talked about today actually apply to some of the things that you all have said directly. As odd as it is, Jen and I do have our fights on occasion, and I will say like one of the things that really tends to touch me is, there's statements sometimes of recognition of my effort or me being a good person, and like that might be like, of course, you all listening to us here. I might say, well, of course, Mark's a good person, but sometimes I don't always feel that. But Jen recognizing this, and I'm going to point out some of the things here, it's fulfilling this need of being seen. It's very specific, and generally it's within the context of our conversation. And because of these things, it tends to have a,
Right, and it's supportive of the outcome that you want.
So if you've heard phrases like that from your partner, or things that you would really like to hear from your partner, comment below, and I would love to get some discussion and going on why some of these phrases are significant to you, or why they would be significant to you if your partner were to say them more often.
Yeah.
So, if you want to hear more tips like this, please subscribe and see how we help many couples with similar situations. Before we get going today, though, as always, we have a marriage myth buster. These are always taken from comments that we see either with our clients or in the Facebook group. Things, so, these are things that real people are actually saying either to myself, to some of the coaches on my team, or are said in the group.
Right.
Today's Mythbuster.
Is romance never dies in couples in love? Like this idea that you should always have these like Twitter painted feelings towards your partner, or if you don't, something's wrong. Oh no. And love shouldn't be hard. It should just come easy if you're meant to be together. We should always have these romantic feelings, and if we don't, oh no, something's wrong with us. But it's a Mythbuster, so.
So I don't know, Jen. We were talking about this earlier. Is there always
So,
romance
yes.
between us?
So, this is what we liked actually. We used to like to watch the show Parks and Rec. And what stood out to me was one of the characters said, "I love you and I like you." And for us, I always feel love and care for Mark, no matter if we're fighting or upset or on the other side of some issue. Like, love is there. I care about this person. But liking them for me feels like a meaningful phrase. And so, just in a cheeky way, sometimes we'll be like, I like you, or I like doing that. Like, it means that there's an extra cherry on top, you know? It means that, like, I'm having fun with you. I love being in this with you. It's not just this undying
Passive.
love, the stoic love. So like it's okay that there's different levels to your love. You know, even the Greeks mentioned that there's five different kinds of love. There's so many ways you can be in love with your partner or not. And not all of them might be there at the same time, and that's okay.
So the idea that romance should never die for if you're actually in love with your partner, I don't know. I think we have a fairly healthy relationship, and like we were talking about, romance always isn't always there, and that love, the love is there,
Yeah.
but I might not always like you in that moment,
In that moment, it's
in any
usually
given
in a
moment.
moment where you're like, oh, I don't like how this person is behaving right now. Like, I'm so angry. That's okay.
Yeah, to be clear, Jen and I always settle things
Right. But
eventually.
I don't want to put out that notion that this never happens in a good relationship that's healthy. There's going to be disagreements because we're not the same person, and we see things and express them in different ways. And sometimes there's miscommunication even that contributes to this idea sometimes that it's hard to like the other person for a moment or two or a day or like however long. But this idea that there's something deeper that you can come back to and then build upon is like, I feel like healthy.
Absolutely. All right. So if you liked some of the advice given today, please go over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel. We would love to see some more subscriptions. It helps support us in creating more content. Like I said, please subscribe. And we always come back here every week with more tips and advice through the podcast here. If you're looking for a little bit more in-depth help, you can always go to our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com/apply would be even better. If you go there, you can get on a free consultation call to see if, you know, some extra support is a good fit for you. It's always free, the consultation call. So no obligations in there if you just want to check things out. So thank you all for listening in today. And as I said, we'll be here next week with some more tips and advice. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.